My heart just wants to tell you how fortunate you are to have the kind of pastor and his wife that you have. They're godly people, and it's our delight to get to speak. And we praise the Lord for it. Pray for them as they lead the flock. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. CNN reported in August of 2013 that a 60-foot sinkhole had formed under a resort in Central Florida. Shirley and I have driven there since that report to see that area. And it says on late Sunday, forcing the guests out of their rooms as one three-story building collapsed and another one slowly sank. Guests at the Summer Bay Resort in Claremont, about 10 minutes from Walt Disney World, called for help because the collapse, before the collapse, saying that they heard loud noises and windows cracking. All the guests inside the buildings, an estimated 35 at that time, authorities said, were evacuated before the first structure crumbled. Tumbling into this ever-deepening pit were cars, pavement, bicycles, sidewalk, the lawn furniture, patio at the motel. You know about sinkholes here, too. In October, you had pretty torrential rains for this area. And it was reported October the 2nd, 2018, after heavy rains, a large sinkhole closed the intersection of Cactus Road and 35th Avenue. Anybody know where that is? All right. Well, that happened here. I saw the picture of it online, and it looked like it would be very scary to hit that with your car. If you were in a motorcycle, good luck. But sinkholes vary in size. Cairo, Egypt is recorded as having the largest sinkhole on earth, measuring a massive 72 miles long by 48 miles wide by 402 feet deep. And that's Guinness Book of Records for sinkholes. Scientists say that sinkholes occur when underground streams drain away during seasons of drought. This causes the ground at the surface to lose its underlying support. Are you following me? Lose its underlying support, and then suddenly everything caves in. We have a lot of problems with this on the East Coast and in Florida as well. So many spiritual lives are like that Florida sinkhole. I mean, I wonder if you've ever felt like things were about to collapse in your life. And you're a Christian, but you felt like things were going to collapse. I mean, everything looks so natural and healthy on the surface of your life. The casual observer would say, well, you're doing pretty good. You're doing okay. That's just what they see. But you have them fooled because you know that there's a hidden chasm that's developed under in your heart that has threatens to give way at any moment. Not only are you at risk, but your entire family is at risk in this sinkhole in your life. The Bible text teaches us that all of the issues of life, that which is seen, come from the heart, that which is not seen. So that means that your behavior and your dealings either are or will soon become what is happening in your heart. You cannot hide what is happening in your heart. If you fear God and you're walking with God, well, that's what's going to be seen. But if you have no walk with God, soon everybody's going to know that too. It just has a way of working itself out in our life to the surface. So you can't hide who you are in your heart. And that's why we must keep our heart with all diligence. That means that with all energy, with all earnestness, with all effort, at all cost, keep your heart. The word heart, keep, means to protect. We need to protect our heart. All of life emanates from your inner person. Let me see if I can put it a different way here. There is a visible life that we live and an inner life that we live. And the visible is our accomplishments, our relationships everybody sees. The visible is our academic, our responsibilities, our social media. Everybody knows about that. Our degrees, our physical strength, our ability, our beauty, all of that. All of that is visible. The invisible is your daily devotions. Nobody sees that. Your free time activities. What you do when nobody's watching. Your hobbies. Your thought life. Your reading material. Your friends. Your family time. Your computer surfing. Your texting. Your anything else that you do when nobody sees what you do. Some people realize too late that they have spent nearly all of their energy and all of their time developing the visible surface only to see it cave in a matter of minutes. And the sinkhole is exposed. The inner erosion. It is inner erosion. If you neglect your inner man and feed it nothing or feed it the wrong things, it will not sustain the weight of events that occur in your life, and soon the surface will collapse. What's been happening underground in your heart for quite some time will eventually appear. Now, I'm preaching this evening on inner erosion, and as I preach, ask yourself, is inner erosion occurring in my life? And here's the real question. Am I becoming a hollow Christian? Hollowed out. Hollow Christian. Empty. Full of works. But no walk with God. Used to have a walk with God. And then when that happened, you were enthralled and you were growing and God was working in your heart and you started to volunteer for this and that and you got involved, and that's good. You ought to do that. But not to the neglect of the inner man, you see. And so it can happen to a preacher, to a wife, to a husband. It can happen to a missionary, evangelist, a leader. It can happen to a deacon or a teacher or a teenager or a child, a member of a church, any Christian. The inner erosion. I believe there are at least three causes of inner erosion in Christian workers. And if you can identify them, you can correct them. Amen. And so tonight we're going to work at identifying three reasons for inner erosion. If you don't take them seriously and correct them, your sinkhole is about to collapse. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray for the moving of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, give me clarity of thought now as I try to help your people in this area. Lord, I know this is what you want. I pray in Jesus' name that you will help me to communicate it. I pray that it will be received and that you will help some of your children tonight in a great way in this place. I pray that somebody may have come in and the sinkhole has started to form, but they'll stop it up tonight. I pray, Lord, for deliverance for someone in this area. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn with me to Numbers 32. Numbers 32. One cause of inner erosion is hidden sin that's allowed to stay unconfessed. It's sin that we're aware of. It's sin that we don't dwell on, but we know it's there. We did it, but we won't confess it. God says, Numbers 32 and verse 23, "But if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will" what? "Find you out." That's right. It's a mistaken philosophy to assume that we can indulge in habitual sin and that this inner heart problem will leave the outer life untouched. David had hidden sin, you remember, that caused a huge sinkhole in his life. Achan stole the spoils from Jericho and the goodly Babylonish garment and tried to hide it, bury it, and hide it from everybody's view, but a huge sinkhole opened up in his life because you can't hide sin from the God of heaven. Nadab and Abihu in the Old Testament sinned and they hid it, or so they thought, and a huge sinkhole opened up and they fell in it and God struck them. Turn with me to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. You remember the story of Samson. Samson, he fell into this philosophy. He thought, well, I can sin and it won't affect me if I sin a little bit. I'll just allow myself a little latitude here. I know what the preacher preaches. I know what the Bible says, but I'll just allow this. And the inner erosion began with the very thought that he could get away with sin. Because, ladies and gentlemen, none of us can get away with sin. No one. Prior to this, did you realize that Samson was experiencing the Spirit of the Lord coming upon him? Yes, he was. Judges 14:6, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. In 14:19, and again in 15:14. And so as late as 15:18, Samson called on the name of the Lord. That's the reason God used Samson in those early years. What was he doing? He was keeping his heart with all diligence. He was keeping in contact with Almighty God. That's inward. And God worked it to his advantage outward in his life. And the outward effect was well known. He was well respected. He was gifted, powerful. He was used of God. And we still read about his exploits in the Word of God. Samson started out right. But I want you to see the erosion as it developed. In Judges 16 and verse 1, he saw an harlot. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot. I think it's interesting that she was in Gaza. He didn't control his eyes. I wonder how it is with you gentlemen. I wonder if you're controlling your eyes. The underground stream started swishing back and forth under the surface of his life and his inner man, eroding his strength. Immediately it started. It was like getting cable or satellite TV secretly and watching wicked shows that we have no business watching. That will erode the inner man, to be sure. It was like having websites that are tabbed as favorites and going to them and their pornography. And no Christian man should be involved in that tommy rot. It'll erode your soul. It's like having, as one man in our church had, a stash of pornography in his garage. Some have it in a closet or an attic. A stash of books of pornography. You know who found the books and came and told us? His teenage son. Now none of them are in church. First Samson saw what he shouldn't have seen. He had an eye problem. He didn't control his eyes. If you want to have inner erosion, just start right there and you'll have a good start to having a mess in your life. Things will begin to collapse. Then, however, it never stops there. In verse 1, it says that he went in unto her. Samson acts out what he's been lusting for. He doesn't control his feet. He didn't control his eyes. He didn't control his feet now. And his inner man continues its erosion. But no one knows it yet, including Samson. He's dumb to the whole situation, so to speak. The surface still appears intact. He still is well respected. Nobody knows all of this is going on. In fact, look at the verses that follow in 16, verse 2 and 3. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. Verse 3, and Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them on his shoulders and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. He actually goes out with the same great power that he had demonstrated before this. He probably thought, hey, look at me. I mean, look at this. I can sin and still have power. I can sin and still be able to do what I did before. I can sin secretly and still appear strong. I still can go among the people of God and they'll respect me. But what he didn't realize is that sin has an incubation period. Follow me now. It takes you a while to realize that you've been infected. Just like some diseases, there's an incubation period. There's a lag time between sin and its exposure. The canker worm was eating away from the inside out in his life. It just hadn't demonstrated itself yet. So Samson sees, and then he goes, and yet he has power. In verse 3, he lays. That is, he doesn't control his posture. He didn't control his eyes, doesn't control his feet, doesn't control his posture. In verse 4, he loves Delilah. He doesn't control his emotions. This is the third foreign gal for him. And yet in 16:9, he still breaks the seven green vines that she tried to entrap him with and bind him with. In 16:12, he broke the new ropes like they were nothing but a thread. In 16:4, he even overcame the weavings of his hair into a web. Samson says, I've got it beat. Listen, others sin and they get caught and punished. But I sin and I still have strength. I still look like I'm all right. And the sinkhole was getting bigger and bigger in his life. And it will get bigger and bigger in your life if you think like that. Since he didn't repent and repair the sinkhole, we come to chapter 16 and verse 16. 16 through 20, in those verses, Delilah persistently presses Samson daily with her words until he finally breaks down and tells where his strength lies. And Samson's whole life caved in a moment. This time, he went out to battle as usual, but he didn't get the same result that he was used to. The power of the Spirit was not with him anymore. Of course, that shouldn't surprise us, but it kind of surprised him. It says in verse 20, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of sleep and said, I will go out as at other times and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Surprise! The Lord's departed. You say, preacher, he should have seen it coming. I agree with you. And we ought to see it coming too in our lives. You cannot sin without experiencing inner erosion taking place. It makes no difference if you seem to have hidden it, and if no one else sees it, the effect is on your heart. That's why you have to keep your heart with all diligence. A lady in our church got right with God in 1991. Boy, it was some kind of a night, a Sunday night, I'll never forget it. She came into our office and she was asking questions. We gave her Bible answers and she reasoned in her heart that she wasn't right with God, and she got right with God. Wonderful, wonderful day. She grew, began to grow in the Lord and became a key leader in our church. She was talented. She was busy in ministries of our church, volunteered for nearly everything, and probably for the better part of 20, 22 years, she stood right with us shoulder to shoulder, she and her husband. And they shouldered the ministry with us. We love her. But she was becoming a hollow Christian without anybody knowing it. She put on a good exterior. Nobody saw it coming. But she was not having a walk with God at home. Now listen, God saves us. He created Adam to have fellowship with him. He recreated us to have fellowship with him. You're not going to beat that situation in your life. You're just not going to grow as a Christian, and you're not going to overcome if you're not going to have fellowship with him. She talked like everything was all right, but her heart erosion was expanding, and nobody could see it. Nobody, including her family. I was her pastor. I didn't see it coming. I was blindsided. It all came out in December of 2013 when she left her husband, who was a deacon in our church, to move in with another man that she went to high school with under the false pretense of wanting to nurse him back to health. He just had a bad diagnosis. Well, she's got to use her ministry of mercies and go, everybody should understand. I'm going to move in with him to help him back to health. Wait a minute. Nobody understands that. That's foolishness. Shirley stopped to see her a number of times. We couldn't believe it. We were deer in the headlights. We just didn't see this coming. It broke our hearts. She told Shirley that she had made a big mess of things, and she's right. But she would not humble herself and make it right. Her husband remains faithful to this day, no longer a deacon. Immediately I had to remove him as a deacon. But he's nonetheless faithful, and he's a wonderful guy. What happened to this dear lady? She had become hollow. She was one course from finishing her master's degree in Bible at Pensacola. But inside, she wasn't enjoying the Lord. She wasn't walking with the Lord. And she became hollow. And it all gave in one day in her life. I preached two revivals for one preacher in the southern states. He celebrated his 20th year as the pastor of that church. I mean, he was one consistent guy. He just stayed and stayed, and the church was doing very well. They had a big party for him. They blessed him and everything. But for 20 years, he'd been hiding an egregious sin in his life. And it was found out 3 months after the celebration of his 20th year. After that, his life totally caved in. When they found out, the people found out, within a week, he moved his family out and resigned the church. Today he's in prison awaiting, he's already been arraigned, he's awaiting trial for the things that he did while his wife has three children at home and she's trying to make ends meet. She was a pastor's wife. She loved being a pastor's wife. And now she's out in the work world and she's got to raise, take care of her children. And she's got to run to the prison every week to see her husband. And she's got to manage all the press and the legalities of the whole thing. She's got a big mess on her hands because he became hollow in his life. And inner erosion was taking place. And he was able, you know, we're pretty good at fooling people. Yes, we are. We can get good at it. Hidden sin causes sinkholes, and sinkholes collapse. Listen, if you engage in hidden sin, you are literally shoveling the dirt out from underneath your own feet and your own standing as a Christian. That's a crazy thing. Don't do that. What causes inner erosion? Number two, neglect of the inner man. Every one of us live in an outer world and in a personal world, and the private world that we have is frequently cheated by the demands of the outer world. And we're so busy with life. We're so busy doing all the things that we do. We've picked up some things that really don't feed us spiritually, and they don't feed the purpose for which God created us. And we picked up all of these other things, and they're dragging us down from doing the things we ought to do. Well, the precious time alone with our dear Lord that we used to have and enjoy, well, that's something that now it's 3 minutes and I got to hurry up at that. Reflective time to think and a quiet walk. Time with your husband or wife, maybe a date or a weekend alone with your husband or wife, a family outing, or just the family joking, talking around the table, or maybe in the living room. Just simple things of life we're too busy to engage in anymore. We're just frantically going and going and going. Brethren, we have to take time to cultivate our relationships or they're going to stagnate. We'll become shallow, our relationships. Remember that Samson was used to time with God and having the Spirit come upon him. But you don't read about his time with God during his demise. As he's falling, as the sinkhole is opening up and he falls in it, he neglected time with God, and he neglected God during that sin and fall. That's always how it works. Neglect. Who are those who experience inner erosion because of neglect? Who are they? Let me describe them for you. They are the hard workers. I'm looking at a crowd of hard workers. Who are they? They're busy people. They're good people. They're producers. They have a big heart. They're conscientious people. But for all their activity, sometimes they have overfed the outer man, overstimulated their life with lots of activity, and they've allowed the inner man to starve. To starve. They're like Martha. They're too busy. They live on the wave of the last spiritual experience that they had in bygone days. Nothing current in their life. They let truth learned in the past lead them. They allow strength that they gained in the past to carry them. They allow the power of the former days to propel them. My wife is counseling a lady who's been a pastor's wife for 30 years, and she's busy. She's busy in every aspect of the ministry at their church, but she's not fulfilled. She told Shirley on at least 6 occasions that she seldom opens her Bible to read it for herself. Seldom. I don't think that's the norm. But that's what's going on in her life. And it's opening up a deep chasm in her life and in her family. A young man came to me saying that he felt God had called him to preach. I was pastoring at the time. I asked him, well, how's your daily time with God that nobody sees? And he said, I'll be honest with you, Pastor, it's non-existent. I was taken back. I challenged him. But rather than develop that time with God, he went to another church that would promote him. You see, he wanted to be up front. That was the main thing to him. It wasn't to have the inner man right. It was to have the outer man stroked. To be, everybody think well of him. And today he's an assistant pastor in a church with no walk with God at all. He's hollow. The sinkhole is sure to reveal itself and his life will collapse. You can be sure. The truth is that some need to make cuts in their outward commitment. They've allowed too many things in. They got an activity for this. They got an activity for that. They allow too many activities for their kids. They don't even have time to be in church and make time for the inner man to refill the cavity under the surface. Brother, we all say we want to see revival, but it's out of reach if we aren't willing to be honest in this simple area. I'm speaking to some Christian who has let it happen again. I'm sure of it. Someday when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, it won't be how big your bank account was. It's not going to be about that. It won't be how many properties and possessions you owned. You won't be asked how large your paycheck was. God won't care how beautiful or strong or educated or exalted that you were in this life. Or if you built a company, that's not going to be it. He won't care if you accomplish your task list every day. That won't be it. Could I remind you that Paul challenged to the group of pastors in Ephesus? Look at Acts chapter 20. I'll irrigate my voice so you can listen a couple of more moments. He told them in Acts 20 and verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, a pastor is supposed to take heed for the church and feed the church. But did you notice what's most important even in a pastor's life? It is to take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Yourself first. You got to feed yourself. Sunday school teacher, you got to feed yourself first. Teacher in the Christian school, you got to feed yourself first. Parent, you got to feed yourself before you'll have anything to feed your children. And on we could go. You see, you and I will do everything we ought to do if we feed our inner man. It'll take care of everything. Missions, evangelism, that'll all be cared for if we feed the inner man. If the inner man is cared for, we'll be motivated to do all the other things we're supposed to do. All that God wants you to be doing will get done if you feed the inner man. If you're too busy to feed the inner man, you have something in your life that you don't need in your schedule. Something you've allowed in, and you've got to get yourself out of it, and you've got to cancel that thing in your life, and you'll see yourself start to grow again, and the inner man fed. The warning signal of when you know that you're too busy and overcommitted is when you realize that you're neglecting the inner man. Some people sit and listen to a message like this, and they say, boy, I see what he's saying. I'm neglecting the inner man, but I don't see the answer to it. In my life, it's so jam-packed with everything. Well, you know that you're overextended if you're not feeding the inner man. So Something's got to give. And it's up to you to make sure that it's not the inner man that it has to give. For some, the buzzer is going off. The light is flashing right now, very brightly in your heart, that you've done it again and you've gotten too busy and your walk with God has suffered because of it. The inner man is starving. God is calling on you tonight to take an inventory of your inner man and reverse the erosion that has begun. God, send revival to my inner man at this revival time starting tonight. That ought to be your prayer, the inner man. All right? What causes this inner erosion? It's hidden sin. It's neglecting your inner man. And the third cause is bitterness. Bitterness eats away under the surface. The Bible calls bitterness a root. Well, Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you and thereby many be defiled. As a root, what's a root doing? Well, a root is working underground. That's what we're talking about, under the surface. Bitterness is a root. It's unseen as it is occurring. It starts out like this. I got my feelings hurt. They didn't treat me right. They offended me. You should have heard how they said that to me. I don't trust them anymore. Let them ask me to do something again and just see. And we start to get a little testy. Then it changes to getting even and getting revenge. Often the root is really a bitterness toward God about something. They blame God for something in their life. In essence, they say, though they don't say it out loud, I've done things God's way and he's let me down, and therefore from here on out I'm going to do things my way. And that's how it goes. There's a lot of I and me and my and mine in bitterness. All the time the caustic acid of bitterness is leaching your soil out from underneath your feet. Your spiritual life, listen to me, is getting ready to collapse. It cannot bear the load of what bitterness is eroding underneath it. Inner erosion. If you've let it occur in your life, you need to correct it tonight. It's the beginning of revival tonight. Would you bow your head with me, please?